This afternoon, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 13, we're going to be looking at verses that in our culture today are very controversial, extremely controversial, because it deals with a concept that is being taught against, and that is yielding to authority, and that you're accountable to the authorities over you. Our culture has become one that is very rebellious in nature. This morning we just touched on it. Do your own thing. Don't be concerned about others, and let alone the authorities over you. And yet, the Apostle Paul, in the next few verses, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning, or this afternoon. Let's read those. Let every soul be subject unto the highest powers, higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand as we look at these verses. And Father, it's a difficult topic to deal with, especially given the culture in which we live. And Father, we live in a world where the authorities that you have established and the sources of authority over us, we are being taught to rebel against. And they are being mocked at. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at this and help us as Christians understand how we are supposed to respond. Speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The term subjection, it's a term that really is equated with weakness in our culture, a term that's equated with foolishness. Why would you want to subject yourself to anybody or anything? Yet the Bible tells us specifically here that we're to be in subjection to the authorities over us. And we're going to be looking at this afternoon. First of all, let's look at, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. First of all, I want you to understand, it ultimately is being subject unto God. And it's looking at what God has established. Now we're going to be looking at, a little later on, there are exceptions to yielding in complete subjection to the authorities, and that is when those authorities demand that you do something against the will of God. Then you are to be in accordance to God's will over the authority's will. But we're going to be looking at this in just the concept of responsibility to authority and being in subjection to it. Lest we think that this is something that is just a total, where did this come from? It's not in the Bible. It's not true. There's at least six ways that Scripture talks about that we're to be in subject to authorities over us. First of all, I want you to see that it's used of servants to masters. Servants to masters. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Titus 2, verse 9. And Paul writes to Titus, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. In other words, don't answer back, don't talk back, but please and do what you're instructed to do. In our culture, we don't have slaves and masters, but we do have bosses and workers. And you go out in the workplace and you get a job and you're accountable to your boss, the authority over you. Yet, what do you see in most workplaces today? You go out and you tell the employee, this is the way I want it done. I want it done this particular way. I want it done in this fashion. and you need to come back, and it may or may not be done that way. It may not be done in a timely fashion, and it may not be done at all. And it's because of an attitude of rebellion to authority. Why do I have to listen to him? What makes him think that he can tell me what to do? The Bible tells us that as a Christian, we're to be in subjection to the authority over us. In our case, it would be the workplace. If you have a job, you're to be responsible to the authority over you. We're also, this is something that is totally on its head, but the Bible says that the young are to be in subjection to the elders. Now, is that what our culture shows? No. Actually, it shows that the old people really don't know anything at all. They're kind of senile and out of it anyway. And the young people are the ones that have all the ideas. So we should have the young people leading and the old people just sitting there doing nothing and nobody listened to them. That's not what the Bible says. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter, Peter talks about this very topic. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. And Peter says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Here's that concept again of humility rather than pride. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Today, young people want to be exalted over the elders and want to have the authority and the positions and now all the say, do whatever they want. And here the Bible tells us the exact opposite. Paul tells in another portion of Scripture that the younger women are to learn from the older women and the older women are to teach the younger women. They're to teach them how to love their husbands, how to love their families, how to work in the home. They're to instruct them. Older men are to teach younger men. They're to teach them how to be husbands, how to be fathers, how to be workers, how to walk in obedience to the Lord. Fathers and mothers are to teach their children how to walk in responsibility and authority to the Lord. All of it is a picture of the older teaching the younger. And it's only logical, isn't it? The older ones, one of the things that young people, we've got some young people here today, and if you listen to your mom and dad, guess what? When they don't want you to do something, it's probably because they had experience in their life and they may have done that and they're saying they want to keep you from harm. They also are walked with the Lord longer than you have if they're a believer. And they know what God's plan is, given in certain situations. They don't want you to see you harmed by violating God's word and his authority in your life. So they're trying to help you, not hurt you. So if they say no, listen. If they say do it this way, listen. Because they are to instruct you. And likewise, when you get a job, listen to your boss and respond to him. Respond to those that are older. The younger are to respect and submit to the older. Then also, it's used of angels to Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made what? Subject unto him." Who has final power and authority? Is it the angels? No, it's Jesus. It's God. And who ultimately has to be subject to the Lord? It's everybody, including Satan. Now, Satan is a fallen angel. But even Satan can only do what God allows him to do. He is subject to the authority of God. When he went before the Lord, making accusations against Job in the book of Job, could Satan do anything at all that he wanted to do to Job without God's allowing him to do it? The answer is no. God only allowed him to go so far. He said, well, you can do it. You can do all these things to Job, but you cannot kill him. You cannot take his life. And so the Lord did not allow Satan to take Job's life, and Satan could not take Job's life even if he wanted to, because God wasn't allowing it. You see, God is the final authority, and the angels are subject to Him, including Satan and all the fallen angels in heaven. They can only do what God allows them to do and for His purpose. So we see it's used of angels to Christ. It's used of wives to husbands. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And so he's saying that the submission to your husband is to be as it is to Christ. And so you're not to rebel against your husband. Why is that? Well, other portions of Scripture tell us why. Because it wasn't man wasn't deceived. It was the woman that was deceived. God gave man to be the one that was to be the overseer or to take care of his wife. And he was to guard her. Adam was sinned in the sense in not only taking the fruit and disobeying God, but he wasn't there to protect his wife like he was supposed to either. When she was deceived, he entered into the deception knowingly. But we see that the wives are to submit to their husbands. If you turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 15, Titus 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus in the same area, and he says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke all authority. Let no man despise thee." I think I read the wrong verse for the wrong chapter. Titus 2:5, not 15. Titus 2:5. "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And so the reason that a Christian woman is to be in subjection to her husband is to show honor to the Lord and that God's word won't be blasphemed. And so there's to be this submission, and it's not as put under someone's foot, but rather submitting as we would as unto Christ. And then 1 Peter, 1 Peter, and go to chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without word, be won by the conversation of their wives." And then verse 5, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." And so he gives the example here. He speaks to a wife who is married to an unbeliever. And we say, well, should that wife be in subjection to her husband? And he says, well, you should be as unto the Lord and have a godly spirit and not be constant railing against your husband, but rather that you would show forth your godliness that you may win him. And you do that even as women in the Old Testament that were followers of God submitted themselves to their husbands and were witnesses of the Lord. So we see it's used of wives and husbands. It's used of believers to one another. We're to be in subjection to one another. Ephesians 5:21. "Submitting yourselves," that's the term subjection, "one to another," what? "In the fear of God." And so we're to walk together in the fear of the Lord and submit ourselves to one another. Again, with the concept that we studied this morning, loving one another, not viewing yourself haughty and above one another, but rather with a servant's heart, submitting one to another. The concept of a servant, there to serve one another as believers in Christ. And then it's used of believers to God. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. And in James 4, 7, we read the following. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So there's to be a resistance, but the problem is, oftentimes, we as believers are more like the world than we are like we're supposed to be as believers. We submit ourselves to Satan and resist God. That's what the world does. They submit themselves to Satan and resist God. They submit to his ideas and resist God's ideas. We're to be the opposite. We're to submit to God's ideas, submit to God's plan, submit to God's direction, and resist the wickedness of Satan. And so that is to be the life. So the scriptures have the concept of being in subjection to one another. The reasons for this subjections to authority are because of the command of God. And we find that where it says, "For there is no power but of God." The powers that are ordained of God. The term higher powers is used in some authorities of the Bible, governing powers in others, in other translations. They always translate the word ordained as established. In other words, it's established authorities. It's established that God has made these. We see in Scripture that even ungodly kings were raised up by the Lord for his purposes. And we see that in Scripture. In the book of Daniel, you see an ungodly king in Nebuchadnezzar, yet you had Daniel. He did not violate God's word. He did not violate God's authority, yet he was in submission to the king, but he would not violate God's word. So the picture is given there in the life of Daniel and his friends. When they were asked to do that which was against God's will by the king, they wouldn't do it, but they gave him the reason why. And they were willing to pay the penalty for that, but they remained in submission to the king's authority, recognizing his authority. And they did what he wanted as long as it didn't violate God's word. So when the king asked them to eat the food that wasn't kosher, they wouldn't eat it. They said, "We'll eat kosher food and we'll prove to you that God will bless us." When they were to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, they wouldn't do it. They were willing to suffer the consequences because God had given a higher command and it was a higher authority. But they would yield to anything else when it came to the king besides that which violated God's word. So we see that because it's a command, God has established authorities. What is God's purpose for human authority? It is number one, and we're going to go over these really quickly because we're just about out of time. Number one is to protect human life. I'll give you the verses. We don't have time to look them up. Genesis 9:6, Exodus 20:13, and Exodus 19:11-13. In these verses, it talks about the fact that God gives human authority to protect life. It talks about those who take a life, they shall have to pay with their life. And who makes that happen but the governmental authority that is there to protect life? What we see happen when a culture and a world turns its back on God, it rejects the concept of life, and you have life being degraded and not protected. Secondly, it's to protect personal and property rights. That's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 14-17. God gives us a government and an authority to protect our personal and property rights. And this is outlined in his word. Third, it's to handle disputes between people over their rights. For example, if you and I have a disagreement, we can't come to a resolution, then we have an authority over us that we need to respond to, and we take it to that authority. During the time of the kings of Israel, the kings would go out at the gate, they'd meet the people, they'd bring their disputes, the kings would judge. Remember Solomon with the two women that came and said that this woman put her dead baby in my bed and took my live baby, and they said, "Solomon, you need to decide." And Solomon in his wisdom decided, take the baby, cut it in half with a sword, and he knew that the real mother would say no, and the other one said, "Go ahead, I'd rather have half a baby than no baby." He knew immediately who the real mother was. But we see that it was to disputes over people. A couple references, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 12-17, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18-20, Deuteronomy 17, verses 8-13, are just a few verses that talk about to handle disputes over people. And finally, to punish those who do evil. To punish those who do evil. God has established an authoritative structure and a government to punish those that do evil. That's found in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, which is one of the verses we read tonight. And then Deuteronomy 17, verses 2 through 7. I want to give you a quote from Donald Gray Barnhouse, and then just real quickly talk about the consequences of not obeying and submitting. Donald Gray Barnhouse was a well-known pastor and theologian who lived the first part of the last century. And in his fourth volume on his commentary of Romans on page 100, he wrote, which is about this passage, "We strongly uphold the principle of separation of church and state, but we do not endorse the separation of God and the state. God is the Lord of the state as much as he is the Lord of the church, but his sovereignty over the state is not exercised through religious leaders. Civil disobedience is only permissible for the believer when the human authority demands that the believer violates the law of God." And that's found in that reference that refers to that happening is Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 4, let's just turn to that real quickly, because it is an important thing, because there comes a point where you do have to violate or have disobedience, and that's when we're called on to violate God's word. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And what were they instructed to do? Well, they were brought before the Sanhedrin and the high priest, and they were told, "Quit preaching about this Jesus. Shut up, and we'll leave you alone, but you're to quit preaching about Jesus." That's what they were told to do, and they wouldn't do it. Why? Because God had ordained and commissioned them and told them to take the gospel into all the world and to tell everybody, and they weren't to be silent. And so God's authority in this case was higher than the civil authority that was over them, because they were asking them to violate the word of God. An example would be if you were asked to kill somebody by an authority of the government, would you do it? The answer is, God holds life dearly, so that principle would be higher than going out and taking somebody's life in cold blood, being an assassin or whatever. And so one has to look at the circumstance, the higher authority, and if it violates God's word, then we can't do it. But if it doesn't violate God's word, then we need to do it, because the Lord is over all. And the quote of Donald Barnhouse is an excellent quote. So let's just close in prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand this concept. We ran out of time, and there's a little bit more to discuss on it. But Lord, it's the whole principle of yielding to authority. We live in a generation which has become so rebellious in its spirit. And all the authorities that you have established, the authorities of the home, the authorities of age, the authorities of government, we're taught to rebel against them all. And ultimately, it's a rebellion against you. And Lord, help us as your children not to have a spirit of rebellion, but to have a spirit of submission, a submission to your authority and your word. And Lord, help us to seek to submit to your ultimate authority and to do what you would have us do. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.